Bob, thanks
Alan.
for being here. I was just checking my messages on
We take
phone.
the same bus route.
I'm talking to Bob Dobbs. It's an intimate conversation. That's why we're very close to the camera, and because Bob's going to tell us some intimate secrets here about media, about technology, and stuff we not normally are used to, that we are actually drowning in media. I got my little cell phone here. I got the airwaves and radio waves, television waves, everything. We're being overtaken by technology, and you have the answer to that, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I successfully slayed it in the sense of retrieved privacy.
What does that mean? What?
I successfully slayed it.
Slayed it.
S-L-A-Y-E-D.
You slayed the technology dragon.
And retrieved my privacy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with your cell phone there, that's a privatization of the telephone networks. So the content is...
Wait, but aren't the telephone networks... cell phones?
Yeah.
Aren't the telephone networks private to begin with?
No, originally they were party lines, and then they became privatized in different cultures. Others weren't so privatized, but overall, last 30 years, they became privatized. But that was within a general network that could be surveilled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, with this,
yes,
you can leave your home and you can walk anywhere, so you have a bit more of a mobile bubble.
Mm-hmm.
With your using your cell phone. So you got kinetic and mobile privacy.
Right.
Now, the problem is, though, that you are in touch with many other people who have mobile privacy, so you get many more messages, much more content. But that can be always ignored. The essential overcoming of the overload is
mm-hmm.
the fact that you can move anywhere with that and be in touch
but
with
But that's
everybody.
A good thing.
Yeah.
You're saying
yeah.
that's not... Oh, it is a good thing.
Oh, no, I say the Android meme likes to make you think that there's too much information and that you need privatization. That's
really?
What this...
And you're saying we don't have too much information. We don't have enough information.
Oh, no, no. I say we're post-information.
What? But
I
feel like,
here.
No, I'm drowning in information. I'll tell you, I go
yeah.
home, I check my mailbox,
mm-hmm.
go upstairs, check my voice message, go into the computer, check my email, see what serves. By the time I answer my mail, my
mm-hmm.
voicemail, my email, I'm exhausted.
Right.
Really.
Well, that is, if you were regularly employed, you might not have the time to do that.
Well,
I think that because of your personal free lifestyle, you're interacting with a lot of people.
Right.
And they, therefore, have time to interact with you and email you.
Mm-hmm.
If they understood that you had a role, a job, and you weren't available as you are now,
right.
you might not have as much, and you'd also be being paid in another situation where you could ignore other people. In your freelance situation, which a lot of people are in now,
right.
the freelance service industry kind of business environment, you have to be open to a lot of stuff. So in your present situation, yeah, you're overloaded, but that isn't the situation for everybody.
But aren't you saying, and Bob has many books out, or one book, but
mm-hmm.
he has many circuits of networking. This is
yeah.
Bob Dobbs, who inspired the Church of the Subgenius. He's actually a mythic figure. He's actually a real person as well. You're saying that the machine has taken over.
Right. Well, I'll begin with that.
Yeah, let's start.
And you were right that we have had information overload for most of the 20th century for most people. The authorities, the institutions that sort of controlled the picture and the icons of what was going on, like the church, the education, the business leaders, politicians, those icons have fallen away. So people now depend on a sense of community from their own information networks.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to information overload, and I would say that since the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
But the 90s has seen the technology becoming more user-friendly and adapting to your needs, giving you more mobility in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have a structure from the 60s to the 90s of interdependence and people's need to communicate. Now that brings up my theme, cloning ESP.
Yeah, what is
that? I think that technology, electric technology, is always evoking an intimacy. That people interact all over the world with this information environment, but it's been a dominating ESP.
That's why we have these cameras so close, because we want to give the feeling of intimacy,
yep.
which is the illusion that technology brings. Well, there is an intimacy that I can talk to someone around the world and really connect with them through the phone or through television somehow.
Yeah, it's this close. I would say we're even more invisible. This is where I get into the what we're made up of. I say we're 1/5 neuron, 1/5 chip, 1/5 TV screen, 1/5 astral body, and 1/5 archetype, which would be the sense of a human essence that isn't either chip, neuron, which is biological, astral body, or...
Wait, so we're one chip neuron.
1/5.
1/5, yeah. Which is the physical body, you're saying, or mental...
It's the biology.
All right, yeah. And then 1/5 chip. Now, what's that?
That's the technology, the cell phone, and all that stuff.
That is what makes us up as a personality identity.
That is what you go home, you go to the toilet. Then you go check your email. You consider your email as another body function.
Right.
But it's a mechanical, electronic, simulated body function. So it's not biology, but it's very intimate with it, and it's 1/5.
And it's an intimate part of our lives.
Yeah.
It's who we are.
Yeah.
You know, our computers.
So that's the 2/5.
I get it.
The 3/5 is the pre-chip, the TV screen. The screen's been around for 50 or 60 years. The screen is still here with the computer and that. You don't have a screen necessarily on your cell phone.
It's not yet.
One. But I mean the dominance of getting information through the screen is still there.
I mean, the screen being a window to some
many other media.
Yeah.
All other media.
Is this window. This
yeah, it contains the movies, the radios, and all that stuff that's on your laptop. Mm-hmm. And then there's the astral body. That's your spiritual self. That is the complement to the biology, which is the neuron. When the neuron dies, it goes somewhere, right? I believe there's an astral body.
Well, I am glad you include that because that's really the underlying theme of this show, is that we are essentially that. That's essentially who we are, because all those other things can drop away. The neuron, the chip, the, you know...
But let me throw in this.
Yeah.
If when you do die and you're in the astral plane, there is a great attraction back to this plane, and we don't know, in spite of what spiritual schools say, that this world may not be as important as the spiritual world. This world may be very important, so I say there's a magnetic draw for the astral body back to this plane, and I include that as a potent spiritual force, so that's why I make the astral body only 1/5. It's equal to the biology that you will reincarnate into. And the interesting thing is technology is becoming that intimate, so the astral body is paralleled by the chip.
And really, explain that, because how is something that's non-material, like the astral body, being duplicated by a material substance?
Come in closer, I'll tell you about that. So the Android meme is made up of 1/5 chip, 1/5 neuron, 1/5 astral body, 1/5 archetype, 1/5 screen. Now we could take the biology is neuron, and astral body, those two go together, the physical and the spiritual. Now, the machine is making a complement to that, a simulation. So I would say the TV screen is close to the neuron experience. It's sort of as a tactile image that can organize your coherent experience of your sensory life. So we look around like a screen. But the chip is the invisible part of yourself. The cell phone, we don't even know how all these computers, we can't follow the intimate threads that connect all the electric circuitry, the digital circuitry. So I would say the chip technology is parallel to the astral body, so that you're flying all over the place when you use your cell phone and other digital technology. That allows you to fly on inner circuits like an astral body. Then I say, so you got two parts.
Because we're almost not bodies anymore. We're just voices traveling through space. We become disembodied with the electronic technology.
I would say that we were collectively discarded from the telegraph to television. We didn't have a freedom. We were inside that collective ESP mandate of the electric environment. It was with the...
We lost our physical body.
Yeah, generally. We still had it, but we were so involved with telegraph, radio, movie, television. These media dominated people's lives for over 100 years, 1850 to 1950. But with the computer and then the satellite, There was a bit of what I call electronic. That's the electronic phase. We're beginning to get out of the electric tribal mandate, and you're starting to have your autonomy. So think in the 50s, the kid with the transistor radio no longer has to listen to the family radio. It can walk around outside and have to listen to his own kind of music. Bit of autonomy there, electronic autonomy. Then the digital comes in with the chip.
So that was a big break for you're saying that no longer were we tied to the family media.
The tribal.
We broke away with the transistor radio. That was a huge break in our culture.
Oh, yeah, that was the beginning of electronic autonomy. And then you had the host with five television sets. The kid would have his own TV set.
Right.
You have the beginning of demographics and fragmentation within the electric sphere, and that's done by electronics.
Well, didn't this actually begin with newspapers? Once everyone could get their own newspaper printing press.
The printing press was the first tribal medium, but it paradoxically created not only the tribal national group and national boundaries, it also created the individual who could read privately. And yes, that fragmented from the acoustic and tactile first nature tribal.
That was a break from religion, where the only way you would learn how to read if it was some religious text, and you had to read within a context of some kind of spiritual organization.
Right. Yeah.
And so when the printing press developed, we developed individuality.
Right. But we also began the first large groupings called nations. Mm-hmm. And that's when republics came in, and Ben Franklin used the printing press to start the first free nation away from that tribal feudal European complex. And he did that with the printing press. And then the telegraph, though, starts to alter the...
The telegraph took us... Around the world.
Around the world. The global village comes in with the telegraph.
Right.
You know, they talk about the propagandists of the information highway. We talk about we're going into a global village. That's nonsense. We've been in a global village for 100 years.
So
where are we now?
So the telegraph, the radio, the television.
Is the electric tribal phase.
Now we're moving into another phase.
The third phase. We've gone through the electronic, which is the computer, which we've been miniaturizing and smalling and getting rid of the mainframe and getting smaller, and the satellite floating around the whole media complex, and then the miniaturization of the satellite and the computer together, that moves into, and that is the electric autonomy phase. Then we move into the digital phase, and the digital is the building of the Android meme.
Now, Android meme, from what I understand, is a thought form. It's a
cultural habit, a collective ESP habit, a shared idea. Like God was a meme for many cultures.
Or a particular God. The Christian God was a particular meme.
Right.
Or the Industrial Revolution, if you want, it was a meme.
The GNP, the Gross National Product.
They're all memes or thought forms. So the Android meme, Android meaning machine.
Machine looking very much like a human, very intimate with human consciousness.
So the Android meme is a thought form of a machine that is very similar to humans?
Yes, yeah.
And that has taken over?
Oh, yeah, that is what we've been building for the last 30 years, 1960 to 1990. Once you got into the chip world, the really tiny miniaturization, and then that allowed not only the transistor radio effect for the kid, which is electric autonomy. After that, you then have this demographics where the information content is not targeted to mass ESP mind, but to individuals. And advertising begins to fragment. Now, the cloning ESP idea is explained by the example of advertising and polling. To know where the public is, they need to make an icon. In Egyptian society, the pyramids represented an icon for like a gross national product that somebody worked with and worked for to save the pharaoh's divinity, to have him live after. Now, when you think of the pyramid, that's before writing, that's after small, intimate nomadic tribes, Paleolithic tribes, we call them tactile. The pyramid comes in and it's a big sculptural shape that communicates a sense of community bonding, and then that dissipates when you get into writing and more individualization. Now I say we're going back into the Paleolithic intimate ESP world, and the transition was these pyramids of icons, Marilyn Monroe, Liz Taylor, Jack Kennedy, these are sculptural images, interior landscape pyramids. Now, when the Android meme starts to take over, it makes Alan an icon. Alan Steinfeld an icon in his own mobility, his own success.
In our own mind, we become, and that's the cult of the personality that where everyone wants to be famous, everyone wants to have their own website, whatever.
That's right.
But that's not necessarily a good thing.
No, that's the Android me making you feel that you are the center of the universe. Which Elizabeth Taylor had, Queen for the Day and all that. The mega rich people had everything. But nowadays we have so much information wealth that to own any secure position like a Hollywood star is inhibiting. You can't move around as easily. Mm-hmm. The average citizen, if he plays it right, has access to all kinds of entertainment and doesn't even have to take any responsibility for producing it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to show up on a set. So it's really making you consumer billion-dollar services and more tailor-made to your desires. Now that's a seductiveness. Mm-hmm. That's a seductiveness that the machine itself wants us to have this
this false belief in a kind of self-centered universe.
Right, right. Now that is okay for the quadrophenic, for the human being who's 1/5 chip neuron, astral body, screen, an archetype, in the sense that you will replay the history of media, print, all those iconic phases, you will have those expressions at your fingertips.
Right.
But what is the icon that holds it all together when we worry about the future, or we wonder what the future is, and this show is about the future. Mm-hmm. And I could say to anybody, the future wears your face.
What does that mean, the future wears your face?
It won't be Bill Clinton, it won't be Al Gore, George Bush, it won't be some collective image. It'll be your face and your reality.
Can you say that to the camera? Because I think that those people will want to hear that.
The future will be your face, Billy, and your face, Anna, and your face, Spanish name, and your face, Italian name, and your face, Chinese name, and your face, Anglo-Saxon name. It'll be your face, male, female, or both, or animalistic. It'll be your face is the future. Now, how are you going to find me? How are we going to connect? We can connect through a media, but how are we going to connect through bodies? I think we can, because as your technology gets smaller, we are going to meet. And I sense the euphoria in New York as it more and more as the 90s unfolded. People could interact easier, quicker with the flesh, with the body, as they had their cell phones. Because their cell phones are linked to previous responsibilities and things. Now, it is odd when you see people walking together, they are on the cell phone, not talking together, but they also can interact. So I think that the human scale is coming back, and so it'll wear your face.
But why would the machine start to get rid of itself? You know, if the human face is coming back, that means the machine has found its natural order.
Right. It will get rid of itself like God did. It'll become invisible. Isn't that the
scary.
Most spiritual thing? Now, why is that scary? No, that so see there.
Well, you're saying the machine is becoming the God force.
Yes, it's the invisible thing that holds us together. And as we accept that more, we have intimate sensual involvement with those machines, which you see in the kids today. They're very involved with their machines. They love them.
But is it possible that we can just maybe reach a place where we don't need the machines?
Now, note how you bring up this tone of concern. This is important. The Android, the Android meme will be made up of human emotions. Paranoia, schizophrenia, hysteria, panic, and ecstasy. And more you will have those imitated or massaged and express for you. So when you just express that concern, a slight paranoia.
Yes.
I don't know how seriously to take that, because that can be an Android meme encouraged emotion.
Oh, so what's me, Bob? Where am I?
You're all five.
I want to return to the real world, outside the machine. I want to step outside the machine.
Well, I'm saying it's here's what's interesting. I just said the world is getting more available for you to step outside. We're going to do this. We're going to broadcast. We're going to walk in the street and talk to the bus driver or whatever.
Right.
The other bus, not the one we're on now. So,
are we on a bus now?
Now, but what's interesting is that your mind doesn't see that in the moment here. That's what's interesting, that you do need to have a sense of a bigger frame that is human, the archetype, the one-fifth archetype. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go into and analyze why you felt that paranoia, because that is why I say it's seductive. Even though it's going to make the world your future, humans don't trust the machine. They don't trust this reality.
Well, should we trust the machine? Because is it ultimately for our own good? The machine doesn't want anything for itself?
I say we don't trust the software imaging and mirroring that's going on, that we trust something like cold fusion, which gives us real energy and real shelter and satisfies our needs for warmth and food and lighting, the electric thing. That is what would allow you to feel more physically secure, because really people may not be afraid of death, they're afraid of pain. Mm-hmm. And pain is hunger. And so when you express that concern there, you're saying, oh, well, where am I going to find out a security, and I keep eating? You know.
So you're saying the machine is not necessarily evil, it's just gotten out of control. It doesn't have its own agenda.
No, let's look at that phrase, out of control. It's actually more in control, and where humans are controlling, you can control your email.
Well, it's gotten out of control of the human control, it's in its own control.
I think what it means is that you feel that you're not connected to an apple tree. You don't
well,
know where you're
going
to get
it.
Your food. That's first nature.
Yeah.
That's and maybe even human beings. But then again, you don't want you always reflect an image in a human being. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I know what that person is, and I like or don't like, and I feel intimate with that. If we start thinking where something machinic is inside a person, that is what is frightening, I think, because mm-hmm. we're not. I mean, that's the Blade Runner, very good movie for showing the problem as the android robot becomes conscious and wants to become human, and the human is worried about that. They keep
it but also the Matrix is when the machine is totally taken over and the humans are
there's
just
the world wearing your face. The Matrix
right.
describes exactly. And that
right.
was a made about me. That was about my, there's an article written in the Paranoia magazine. You can go there and it shows how it was about my mission, which is to overcome the android meme. Because what's his name, Keanu Reeves, or Neo at the end begins his battle against the android meme by calling somebody. He begins to do telephone terrorism. He takes an intimate electric medium like the telephone, a payphone, and he calls somebody, invades their computer, right? He is trying to swallow the whole environment. Now that happened about 1977 to 1990. The new movie coming out, we'll talk about me and how he survives that battle with the android meme.
Which new movie is that?
Matrix 2. They're making Matrix 2 and 3. And that'll show me in the 90s.
So you, being
the Neo character,
the human that has now realized that the machine has taken over.
And he's the first to realize that. You know, he's really Keanu Reeves in the movie. He represents the reemergence from the whole Matrix. He's successfully slayed the machine on some level.
Yeah, it's what you call the synthetic Christ,
yes.
The return of the synthetic.
Oh, I never said that, did I?
Well, I think I heard it someplace.
Okay.
But now the latest development, or what you're trying to, spearhead, is that the word?
Yeah.
Is the reenactment of the human as machine. Would you say that?
To understand how Neo got to that point.
Yeah.
See, that is 1990. And the breakthrough that he gets, that shows, is the breakthrough that my wife and I have achieved here in New York. And so for 10 years, we've been accomplishing that and trying to communicate.
Accomplishing what exactly? Now just be very specific.
Yeah.
So
accomplish the transcendence of the android meme, the overcoming of the android meme, and the understanding that how it's seducing us, and to offer a way out of that situation.
You know, the more I hear the word android meme, the more I get it. I hope people will start to get the sense of what that is.
Finnegan's Wake.
Finnegan's
Go
Wake.
Go to Finnegan's Wake.
Well, the Finnegan's Wake celebration, the whole Joyce thing, is happening on June 16th, and people. But I don't see how Joyce's Finnegan's Wake will help us understand the machine.
Oh yes, if you understand that the content of the book. That book is not just a story, the alphabet. He's trying to show the ESP, the cohering icons of other media, other environments. And he swallows them all and makes it a nice little tactile package for you to fondle and fetish over and to probe the pun, the post-verbal, the pre-verbal. All those are contained in it if you know how to look at it. So to read Finnegan's Wake is not done just by the eye. done by the ear and done by a kind of thinking.
So, okay, we're running out of time. If you had one thing to leave the audience with so they can start to become aware of their environment, start to take control over the Android meme, what would that be? And tell them. Talk right into that
I'd
camera.
I'd say,
and,
call Alan.
No, don't call me.
No.
Right here, just right in there. I'll go ahead.
I'd say, call the number at the end. Order a copy of this tape, order a copy of the other two shows we've done, and go over them over and over and over. Meditate on what we're saying, because I'm trying to use ESP, not just the verbal language, in communicating what the Android meme is. But the guidelines are in the carefully chosen words I've used in this dialogue. So if you didn't tape this show, try to get a copy and look at it again. But within the verbal, if I tell you what to do, I say, stay tuned to the next time we show up. That's all I can do to leave you. And also have faith that reemergence is possible. I've done it, my wife has done it, and therefore
you
it can be done. You can do it.
But most people don't even know what it is that they're reemerging from.
Well, they have to get the tape. What to do this is not simple. It's a new yoga. It's media yoga. It's a new kind of yoga. There's no spiritual, economic, educational discipline or institution is offering this technique of strategy. And it's based on a celebration of the fact of where we really have arrived. But it requires, as Alan showed, he got a little paranoid about where he was as he started to get it. That I'm trying to massage that paranoia, that ecstasy, that schizophrenia, that hysteria, and that panic, which is inevitable as you recover from the Android meme's infection of those viruses.
So you're seeing everyone will go through that. They'll
yes.
become hysterical, they'll become paranoid, they'll become what?
Schizoid.
And ecstatic.
And panic.
All in one,
yes.
as they realize what?
The Android meme has been selling and communicating those emotions to you.
Oh.
Intimately simulated versions.
Oh, but that's not really who we are.
Oh, no. These
it's
emotions.
It's only who we think we are.
So quadriphenia is the disease I'm describing. Quadriphenia is made up of 5/5.
Uh-huh.
1/5 chip, 1/5 neuron, 1/5 astral body, 1/5 TV screen, and 1/5 archetype. It's often the archetype, that human residue image, that screams out the other four emotions.
Thanks for being here, Bob. I'm talking to Bob Dobbs,
okay.
the only person to so far reemerge from the Android meme, from the, I would say, the holographic chaos
yes.
of the electronic media that
of
is
the digital media,
digital.
Third phase.
And now, you have a website?
Yeah, just go to Bob's Meme Ecology. Punch that in, it'll come up.
Thanks, Bob. And I'm talking to Bob Dobbs. And
I've been talking to Alan, I think.
Right. I don't think it's me. I think it's an electronic version of me
yeah,
because that's all people see is the television.
Right.
And if you have any, see you next time. Thank you.